It is hard to find an adult in the United States who does not have a smartphone. We rely on the phones for everything from phone calls to photographs and way beyond. But smart meters are a completely different story for some people. Those are digital meters to monitor the electrical power use at homes and businesses. And rather than the old kind with the spinning wheel and the person who showed up once a month to read it, smart meters transmit their information with wireless technology, and that appears to be the core of the opposition to them. Pacific Power is in the process of switching out the old meters for smart meters in our region. Christina Kruger is the regional business manager for Pacific Power, and she is here with some details in the studio. Christina, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me. Good morning.
So what drives the change to smart meters? What led to the decision to say, okay, let's swap out the old for the new?
Sure. We're really looking into the future and trying to find ways to better connect with our customers. We want to make sure that they have ease of use. And one of the ways to make that happen is to give them the information that they need. So a smart meter is going to be able to give them information about their energy use so they can make an adjustment, potentially lower their bills.
Give them what information and how?
They'll have information on whether or not their changes that they're making in their homes are translating to energy cost savings. They'll be able to take a look and see what their energy use looks like in a more real-time fashion.
Meaning what? They can check up on the progress of how their electricity consumption is doing on a regular basis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They'll be able to look, you know, day after, same day at their usage to see, you know, what does that look like? I made these changes. I had house guests. Suddenly my energy use is going up and potentially my bill's going to go up too.
All right. So rather than knowing once a month what's going on, you get to know, you say, daily?
Absolutely.
More than daily?
Yep.
How often is the information transmitted? Because it seems to be one of the major concerns that people have about the meters.
Total in one 24-hour period, it's about 4 minutes worth of data.
Mm-hmm. So how many
it's
times?
It's interval data.
Mm-hmm. How many times over the course of a day, though, equals that,
you know,
that 4 minutes?
It's intermittent chirps. I don't know what the full, I just know that it totals up to about 4 minutes.
All right. So what makes them smart? Why do we call them smart meters?
That's a really good question. To be honest, they just send the same information that our meters captured before. It's just whole energy use data. The difference is that it's sent wirelessly. So.
All right. Sent from the meter to where?
To an antenna.
Mm-hmm.
That antenna transmits the information up to our servers, and at that point it's integrated into the system and our customers have access via the web.
You've identified the benefits that the consumers can have, and
sure.
Would they check what, their account online? Is that how they check? I mean, they can't.
We have a web app.
All right, but they can't connect to the meter directly themselves, can they?
No, they'll just receive the updates.
Mm-hmm. All right, so their account is there online and they can go get that.
Absolutely.
So that's a benefit to the consumer, as you put it, point out. What is the benefit to the company to have the smart meters installed?
So there are several benefits. One benefit clearly is that we're going to keep our costs low. That's been a commitment we've made to our customers for several years now, and we're going to keep doing that as best as we can. In order to do that, we need to make sure that we make adjustments in how we process and operate our business by, you know, leaning some things out. So there will be less employees. We will have less meter readers, of course. In addition to that, hopefully with customers being able to access their information, maybe there'll be fewer calls and people will be more pleased with the service because they'll be getting that information right in their fingertips.
For one thing, I understand when there's a power outage now, the company will know right away.
It's so wonderful. I don't think that people realize that we don't always know when your power's out. So now with this technology, we'll be able to get a notification from the meter. It'll just essentially say we're off. Something's going on, and that means that we can start to respond pretty quickly. We can start to build our logistical plan and get that service restored much faster.
All right. You talked about the operational savings from having fewer employees. So
sure.
Will people get laid off? Will people lose jobs because of smart meters being installed?
Sure. We're looking at installing over 580,000 of these meters in the state, and the displacement could potentially lead up to about 100 employees displaced. But to be honest, as we move through this process, we've been doing everything we can to make sure that employees are finding new placement within the company, and if not, they are definitely getting a compensation package as they leave.
Are you hoping that some of this will be handled through attrition? I mean, I imagine you have a few people who are close to retirement.
There is organic attrition that's happened over the last few years, and yes, that has been a benefit for people that are looking to move into other positions. We've also taken the opportunity to provide, to open up positions maybe just internally for some of those candidates to move in. And then we're also looking at additional apprenticeship programs because obviously we have trades and we have customer or employees that have expertise that requires some apprenticeships to move into those roles.
All right. So 100 employee, 100 positions anyway at some point.
Yeah, over 25% have already been replaced, mm-hmm. not replaced, but moved into other positions. So.
And how big a difference does 100 employees make in the overall Pacific Power workforce?
That's a really good question. The last time I looked at our numbers, we were well over 3,000 employees. We do serve 6 states, so... But I don't know the percentage per se.
Has Pacific Power done, and is the rollout just on the Oregon side or in the California side as well? You have some customers
in California
too. It will
be happening in Northern California as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going through that process right now.
So what's the phase? Is it actually happening in Jackson County at the moment?
Absolutely. Just started this week. We have about 55,000 meters that will be replaced, and that'll be running through September.
All right. And has any other counties in this southern section of the state been done already?
So we just finished Klamath in that whole area. So that's been pretty interesting, just given the nature of the terrain, right? So they're moving into Jackson right now, and then we'll move up to Josephine County and then also be running through Northern California, I believe, in the next few months.
So how much contact are you getting about smart meters?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, I can imagine, because it seems like everybody's talking about smart meters and their concerns about them. What is the number one concern that you hear, and how often do you hear it?
Sure. I think there are a couple of concerns that stand out to me. One is just, the concern around, is this technology going to potentially be harmful to my health? And I really spend a lot of time just kind of providing the education or the information that I have to customers, because truly it's just something new in their environment, right? And so I think it's a healthy process to go ahead and question that. Like, why wouldn't you? But what we've done is we've actually studied for many years. We're late adopters. There are over half of the homes in the United States that have these. So over 70 million homes already have them installed. And we made it till the system was actually mature enough for us to feel confident in it. And we took a look at WHO, the World Health Organization, and their statistics, as well as the FCC, to see, is this deemed safe? What are some potential ramifications? And we determined that it is something safe for our customers. So,
Christina Kruger is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the regional business manager for Pacific Power, which is in the process of installing smart meters in Jackson County, Klamath County just finished, Josephine County ahead, some to be installed on the California side as well. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Grab your headphones. We're going to take a call here from Eli in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Christina Kruger. Hi, Eli.
Hi.
Good morning, Eli.
Hi. If your listeners go to the Medford Mail Tribune website and click on the menu button and scroll down to guest opinions, there's a really great article. Just look for "Imposing Dangerous Smart Meters is Wrong" in the guest opinions. It's a very well-documented, footnoted with peer-reviewed scientific studies that blow away Pacific Power's claims of safety. And it's really pretty easy, because Pacific Power, the Oregon Public Utilities Commission, and the FCC are all deeply involved in the rollout of smart meters, which means none of them are neutral parties. So Pacific Power relies on the FCC claim that smart meters are safe. Getting back to the science here, because the federal government, the FCC, only looks at how much the RF radiation heats up the cells, because they're microwaves, it heats things up. They don't even look at the literally hundreds of peer-reviewed studies that show that RF radiation that smart meters put out cause significant harm to living cells by mechanisms other than heat. So the federal government says, look, smart meters don't heat up cells much more than laptops do, so it's not so bad. End of story. But they don't even test for actual harm. And the scientists who do test for harm find significant harm being caused by RF radiation that is well below the federal government's safety limits.
Can you name a scientist, Eli? I'd like to look this stuff up for myself as well.
Yeah. You go to the Mail Tribune's website, click on their menu button, scroll down to get...
Right, so Imposing Dangerous Smart Meters, I got that part about. But, off the top of your head, do you have the name of a scientist?
Oh, the names of the scientists? No, there are several studies in the footnotes there. You can go to those footnotes and read the scientific papers yourself.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eli. I appreciate that. So, Christina Kruger, not the first time you've heard this, I know, but so let's talk about what comes out of the smart meters and how it compares to Anything else we might have around us, cell phones in particular, come to mind?
Sure. Well, it is a low-watt radio frequency indeed. What we've been using kind of as our marker is if you were to stand in front of that device for 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, it would be less frequency exposure than a 15-minute cell phone call. So that's what we've been comparing it to. That's based on the information that we have and the data that we have. And we've also presented this information in all of the studies that we've reviewed in our process of determining whether or not we felt this was safe. All of that has been reviewed by the Public Utility Commission, which is basically charged with making sure that we are, you know, held accountable and that we are making decisions that are as hopefully as equitable as possible for our customers.
Let me get the comparison again. So
sure.
Standing by the meter 24/7, 365, you would not get as much energy, you're saying, as you would from a 15-minute smartphone call.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let us take actually, Corey Estlund is on the line. He's the field support manager for Pacific Power. I want to take him in here. Corey, how rigorous has been Pacific Power's own testing, if any, on the smart meters before ordering the particular kind that the Pacific Power ordered?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, we spent almost 18 months testing in our early phases of meters. We really wanted to make sure that we deployed a proven product.
And one of the issues, in addition to the health concerns that you just heard Eli raise and other people brought up as well about exposure, is the issue of some earlier generations of smart meters and fires. What can you tell us about that area?
Yeah, you know, the fires that did happen were really targeted to an early generation of smart meter. We went with a different, honestly, more proven vendor and went through additional testing. The meters we're deploying have UL certified, so they went through Underwriter Laboratories. They have the UL stamp. The manufacturer tests them. Our team went through exhaustive testing. We actually sent them to an independent third party to do additional testing. So we've really taken every step we can to make sure that the meters are safe and performing at or above industry standards.
All right. So what UL approved, were some of the earlier generations of smart meters not UL approved?
They did not go through that. Oh. That was some lessons learned from previous projects and talking with other utilities as they went through the smart meter deployment journey. And really, honestly, one of the reasons we waited to deploy. I mean, I think joining late, but I'm sure Christina mentioned there's more than 70 million of these across the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so we're far from cutting trail here. We wanted to really let the technology mature.
Christina mentioned late adopters at Pacific Power. So what lessons have you learned in not the physical rollout, but in the psychic rollout, in essence, Christina Kruger? What have you learned from the likes of Maine Power, for example, that you were able to put into your own program of rollout for smart meters? Dealing with the public, I'm saying.
I mean, so I feel like you're using jargon that I'm not familiar with.
No, what I'm saying is that you obviously have to deal with perception. You have to deal with
Absolutely.
The physical aspect of what kind of
sure.
meters you're going to buy and stuff, but then there's also the public response
Absolutely.
To this. And
yeah.
you have lots of other people who have broken trail, to use Corey's term, to take examples from. So what sorts of things did you adopt into your rollout program to make people more comfortable with the smart meters?
Well, it's been kind of interesting with this rollout because I feel like we've been challenged to become nimble, and that's something we've been trying to do as a culture anyway. We've been trying to shift and let people understand that we're not your grandfather's utility. We've changed. We're different people at the helm, and we have the same values as our customers. We want clean air, clean water, clean energy, and we want to make sure that we are doing that at a price that's reasonable for our customers. So we feel like our value proposition makes sense, and it's in line with what they want. Where we need to learn and grow and where we've continued to adjust has been, based on what our consumer response has been and the information that they've given us. So when they ask us questions, they dig into something, they ask us to prove or clarify, we're right up there trying to do that as best we can because information is really what people are after. And then at that point, they'll make their own decision, right?
Smart meters from Pacific Power, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Christina Kruger is the regional business manager with Pacific Power. We have for some technical questions on the phone, Corey Estlund, who's field support manager for Pacific Power. And you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Archie in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, yeah, I just want to let you know, I got a meter reader, or not a meter reader, but an employee came by yesterday, or day before yesterday, to see, you know, about installing the meter. I opted out. And then I got a call who wanted to do the same thing, you know, from the company, wanted to make an appointment, and I told them I opted out. Then they forwarded me to another department, and they wanted $100, over $100 to opt out, plus a separate meter reading fee. And he wanted to know why I wanted out. And I wanted out because smart meters actually measure volt amps instead of watts, okay? When they measure volt amps, the efficiency changes for the current, and you don't get as much power, and you pay about 8% more for 8 to 10% more for the electricity. So this is just a game to raise our rates. So check that out. Volt amps is a different way to measure watts, and it's not, it doesn't come out the same way. You lose about 8 to 10% of your electricity that way, and so that's what we need to check on.
All right.
I think we're being messed up here.
RG, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Corey, I want to ask you about the technical aspects that he's talking about here. What is measured, and whether there's any difference in what's being measured now?
Archie's not entirely accurate. We measure watts, and that's still our customer.
Mm-hmm.
The meter, the metrology has been, you know, vetted through. There's industry standards for how you measure consumption, and so that's unfortunately not an accurate statement.
All right. Now, I want to ask Christina then about the opt-out part. Mm-hmm. This has been a major issue for people. If they
right.
do want to opt out, it's going to cost them some money up front and a maintenance fee down the road too, isn't it?
That's correct. So when we went into building our plan, we wanted to make sure, again, equity is important to us, that we weren't charging our customers for this upgrade. So we did so. We were successful in that. But the caveat in that was going to be that there would be costs associated with keeping any additional employees on to read meters for folks that might choose to opt out. So one, we want to make sure that people have the option to opt out, but two, there's a direct cost associated with that. We're not socializing those costs amongst all ratepayers, and so if you choose to opt out, you're paying for the future removal of the meter. It's about $137, so that money is put aside in case you change your mind in the future. And that'll pay for the personnel to do the installation of the new meter. And then there's a $36 a month fee, and that fee is basically attributed to the costs associated with the logistics of having an employee, you know, on board to read that meter every month.
So you will have to have some people out there still reading meters for the people who have opted
Correct.
Out. How many people have opted out of the 55,000 you're installing meters on in Jackson County?
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%. One of the major issues that seems to pop up as well, beyond health and fires, which we've talked about, is it gets into, the realm of what is measured and concerns about
Sure.
privacy. When you get this thing on your house that's transmitting all the time, and the question of how detailed the information gets. And like, I'll turn this back to you, Corey Estlin, the field support manager, Pacific Power. Is it just measuring watts? Is it measuring any other contour of the electrical delivery apparatus?
No, what smart meters do, they really aren't anything different than the meters that are on the sides of customers' houses today. The big difference is that we have two-way communication. So instead of a meter reader gathering information, you know, once a month, we're able to get, you know, information from commercial customers. The meter records it in an hourly interval. And so we can then present that data to customers and give them really more information. The smart meters also tell us when they're out. You know, part of that two-way communication. So, you know, the being able to gather more information, that's not really how smart meters work.
Yeah. They're not tied into all of the appliances within your home. They're not giving your account information, your name, anything like that. So.
Are they hackable, though? I mean, even if Pacific Power plays all straight up with the information that delivers, the smart meters deliver, what about the ability for anybody else to get into them? Corey Estlin?
We lose him.
Yeah. Sorry. We've taken every measure possible to build as secure of a network as possible. We went through NIST standards. We hired a third-party consultant to help us design the system to be as secure as possible. Mm-hmm. We actually recently completed some security testing, so we had essentially hackers come on site and attempt to access our network, access our data. We passed those tests, and we're going to continue to make sure that we have as secure of a network as possible.
Is there anything in the meters, Christina Kruger, that allows controls about power going out? I mean, we talk about the smart grid and being able to handle both demand and supply. I mean, is there anything in the meters that would change how power is delivered to the house?
Not per se. I mean, we would have the ability to do remote on or off, but that would essentially be something that hopefully would be helpful to the customer if you're moving into a new site.
It's like a service switch over, that kind of on or off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that's about it.
All right. So how is the process going so far? You mentioned about 1% opting out, 55,000 meters coming into Jackson County. And is the rollout going about as you'd hoped it would?
It's going pretty well. I think like with any large-scale project, you're gonna find some nuances along the way. Obviously, we want to make sure we're keeping our customers informed along the way, and we're doing that through many different communication manners or ways. Overall, Corey, I mean, I could defer to you, I suppose, but I haven't experienced any major challenges beyond just normal logistical issues, I would say.
No. The rollout. We're progressing. We've already completed over 150,000 installs in the state. You know, we're just beginning in Jackson County now, but really, no. We're working through community by community, and no issues to note so far.
All right, we've talked about the exposure from one meter, but now what about if you're by a cluster of meters because you're living in an apartment complex and they're all in one place on the wall near your apartment? Is there any further concern about that? Corey, I'll give that to you again.
There's not. Whether, you know, it's kind of like if you're using one cell phone or two, the exposure doesn't multiply upon itself. And so no issues, no concerns there.
Okay. It looks like a final question here from Stephen in Eugene is less concerned about smart meters than about overhead power lines. And, of course, what happened with PG&E in California and overhead power lines contributing to structure fires and the Honey Fire. So he says the question we should be asking the utilities, and I asked your guest, is how much are you investing in underground power lines?
Right. That's a really great question. If you don't mind, Corey, I'm going to speak up on this a bit. So we are actually taking a really close look at what's happening in California. We always want to try to learn from our neighbors and avoid any kind of costly mistakes or issues. So we are really engaged in anything we can do to make sure things are safe. For example, with tree trimming, we have a very robust program around that, and we'll continue to amp that up as need be, because obviously given the beauty and the natural terrain around here, it could lend to some potential concerns around that.
But okay, more on power lines to come, certainly, and certainly they're not going to hear the last of smart meters here today. Christina Kruger is Regional Business Manager for Pacific Power. Corey Estlin, Field Support Manager. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.